Let's turn back to one of those passages of Scripture that were read earlier in the meeting, to Luke chapter 2, and we're going to take verse 10 as a text today. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, which is Christ the Lord. And we know that God will bless the reading of his precious word to our hearts. Let's just unite in prayer. Our gracious God and our loving Father, we thank thee for the great message of the incarnation. We thank thee that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And our God, we're rejoicing today in the many that thou hast brought joy and thou hast brought peace to. We thank thee for that peace of conscience and peace of heart and peace in the Holy Ghost. And we pray that that peace that was proclaimed by the angels might be our portion today as we gather at thy feet. We pray for thy blessing upon us and that thou wouldst write thy word upon our hearts as we gather at the end of our meeting today. Do us good, we pray. Speak on, we pray, for St. Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The sight that the shepherds on Bethlehem's hill must have seen was a dramatic and sensational sight. To all outward appearances, that night up until that point had been like any other winter's night. They were just gathering, abiding in the fields, watching over their flocks. Probably they'd gathered together, looking after their flocks, watching out for the predators, and they were beginning to speak to one another, beginning to fellowship with one another. And in the midst of all that, there's this great blinding light, a light above the intensity of the sun. And we read that the angels of God appear in the heavenlies. It says the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. What a frightening thing that would have been. But immediately the angel of the Lord says, Fear not. And the angels here, they're God's messengers, and that's the meaning of the name angel in the Greek angelos. It's messenger. And the angel says, Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And thank God the Messiah was born. That was the great tidings. The Savior, who was Christ the Lord, the Redeemer, had come to be with men. And then we read of the host, the multitude of the heavenly host. How great a multitude is, I can't tell you. What size a host is, I don't know. All I know that in the book of Revelation we read about 10,000 times 10,000. And when you multiply that up mathematically, you have 100 million plus a few thousands. And when you look at that, there's a great multitude. But when you realize that the number 10,000 was the greatest number that the Greeks had, then you recognize that this was hyperbole. It was just a way of expressing a mighty multitude. There's hundreds, millions of the angels. And what a mighty choir this was. And they sing what really is the first Christmas carol. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And you notice that it's a very short carol. There is not much as far as word is concerned, but what great meaning there is in it. A lot of carols that you have today are meaningless, or sometimes even downright blasphemous. But this is full of spirituality. It is a mighty message of spirituality to our hearts. Bishop J.C. Ryle once said about this song that any man that hopes to dwell in heaven should have some experimental knowledge of the language of its inhabitants. And we come to think of the language of the heavenly host here. And I wonder today, and this is the challenge, can you join in with the heavenly host? Can you sing in your heart? You've joined together today in this place to sing the praises to God
to think about the birth of the Savior. But wonder if today, within your heart, within your soul, is there that song of the soul set free? Is there that real joy? Is there peace with God reigning in your heart and in your soul? Because it is my prayer that ere this meeting comes to an end, that you in reality and in truth will be able to join in with the angel's song and sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. There are a number of things about this first carol that I want you to see. The first thing I want you to see is the praise of the angel's song. It says, glory to God in the highest. What are the angels doing? They're praising God. That's what the angels always do. They're always praising God all the time. And you notice that it is a glory to God here. And they're what are they praising God for? Well, they're praising God because the Lord Jesus is born. They're praising God because a Savior has come. They were praising God because of the incarnation. And they knew something of what it meant for the Savior to come. They knew the Lord Jesus. They knew him as the second person of the Trinity. They knew him as they had dwelled in glory with him. And they knew that he had left the splendor of heaven. They knew that he had left the riches of heaven to come down into this sin-cursed world. And they knew about sin. They knew about Adam and his sin, how he had committed sin and had turned away from God. And they knew about the fact that there would be a Savior. Remember how the angel had announced that he would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sin. And they knew that they had come to save man. Now, the Lord didn't make the effort to save the fallen angels. We could well understand if the angels hadn't joined in with this song, because the Lord had not made provision for the fallen angels. And yet for fallen man, God had demonstrated his love and had sent his blessed Son into this world to come and to die on the cross and to shed his blood and to rise from the dead. And he sent the Holy Spirit to convict men of their sins and to bring them up from that place of sin and take up residence in men's hearts. And thank God, this was God's mercy. And this was God's grace. What a song this is. But I want you to notice something about this praise of the angel's song. I want you to notice the plainness of their praise. They spoke in language that the shepherds could understand. They praised God in the language of the shepherds in the field. And that's interesting, because obviously proper worship is to be conducted in the language that is understandable by the people. You know, the Church of Rome up until a few decades ago conducted all their worship in Latin. We think of those that would advocate that we speak in tongues. But you've only got to think about what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14 and 19. He said, yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding, and by my voice I might teach others, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. There needs to be plainness about our worship. We come not with highfalutin music. We don't come with anything other than just the praise of our lips. We come in plainness to our God, and we come to worship him with our hearts. That's the message. That's the heart. We come to praise God with our hearts. And there's plainness here in the angel's song. But I want you to see not only the plainness of their praise, but look at the pleasure of their praise. There's happiness. There's joy. There's something to stir the heart as these angels break forth into majestic song. And of course, amongst the people of God, there needs to be that joy. And there is a joy in the heart of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. They came to bring tidings of great joy. And you know, that's what God wants for his people. He wants happiness. He wants his people to be a praising people. And we think of the glimpses that we have of heaven in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. And it says, "And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.'" So heaven is filled with praise. It's filled with joy. Oh, the happiness of the family of God. Do you know anything of that happiness? It's good at this time of the year to gather with your family. And you know, everybody wants that sense of happiness and that sense of belonging to the family and meeting with your loved ones. Sometimes it just doesn't turn out the way that we thought or the way that we hoped. But in God's family, there is that deep down joy, that peace with God that we have in God's salvation. And I hope that you have that joy in your heart today. We see the pleasure of their praise. But look at the person of their praise. Glory to God in the highest. You see, man has nothing to do with it. We read that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The angels didn't come with a man-centered message. They came to praise God. They came to uplift God. They didn't praise man. There's no sense of a man-centered message with the angels. And they recognized that it was God's grace and God's mercy. And it's only by God's grace and by God's mercy that we can be saved. Look at also the preeminence of their praise. They said, "Glory to God in the highest." This was highest praise. Now that's a very remarkable thing, because the angels had been present at very remarkable things down through the history of the Bible. We read that they were at the creation, because it says the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy. They had been at many wonderful occasions down through the history of the Bible. But when they saw God stoop down from his throne to become a babe and to be lifted, they lifted up their voice in highest praise. This, in many ways, is God's highest praise, that he comes to save sinful men such as you and me. Every flower magnifies God. Every lamb that skips in the meadows magnifies God. Every bird that warbles in the tree magnifies God. But the salvation of a sinner is God's highest glory. Isn't that remarkable? That God, even the angels, would count that as God's highest glory, to save a filthy, hell-deserving wretch like you and me. So we notice here this sweet song of the angels. But then I want you to notice the peace of the angels' song. Not only do we see the praise of the angels' song, but look at the peace of the angels' song. They say, "Glory to God in the highest." And then they add, "And on earth peace, goodwill towards men." When God placed man in the Garden of Eden, there was a peace between God and man. And there was that fellowship between God and man. But then sin entered. And man began to fight with God. And man began to fight with his fellows. And Satan put thoughts in the hearts of man. And the peace was shattered there at the fall. And the sinful man has fought against God ever since. There is war. But you know, the message of this time of the year is that God sent his Son, that the sword of God's wrath might be sheathed in his Son, that sword of wrath might be put away, and that there might be peace to those that believe. "There's peace, saith my God, to the wicked." And it is found in the Savior. The legalist will try and find peace in his ceremonies, try to find peace in the things that he does. The religionist will try to find peace in his ordinances. The humanist will try to find peace in the heart of man. He'll never do it. But thank God, here is true peace. You know, I saw an advert on the internet, and there is a Buddhist center in New Jersey in America, and they're offering at the moment that there's a meditation teacher there, Nancy Fleming, and she will lead people in guided meditation so that they can elicit that sense of inner peace. All you have to do is pay $10 for each session of meditation. Well, that'll not give you the inner peace that you need, because your heart is at war with God. And until you make your peace, as it were, with God, until you find the peace of God that passeth all understanding, you'll never find peace. You know, in the city of Durham in England, there's a house with a Latin inscription. It was written in the year 1697. And in the inscription it says, in the year 1697 of the peace of the gospel, and in the first year of the peace of Ryswick. Now I'm sure that you've probably never heard of the peace of Ryswick. But it was a treaty that was brought an end to the 9 years war between Holland and France. It's almost forgotten now. But the historian Macaulay says that in its day, it was considered a permanent peace. It was considered the most vital peace. The peace of Ryswick brought a revival of trade, and the army was disbanded, and it brought in a happier era than had gone before. And everybody thought this peace of Ryswick was a wonderful thing. But of course, the peace of Ryswick was broken. Man's peace will never last. It'll never last. But thank God we know what it means by the peace of the gospel. The peace of the gospel is a peace that lasts. This is a perfect peace. We're talking about peace with God, peace with heaven. Romans 5 verse 1 says, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friend, have you that peace? Have you ever come and sought the Savior? Have you ever come and asked for your sins to be forgiven? Do you have that perfect peace? Isaiah 26 and 3 says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stead on thee. We find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. Give up your warfare. Surrender to him. Come to the Savior. Thank God he will give you the perfect peace that you need. You know, there's a woman one time, and she was dying, and the minister had to go break the news to her that there was no cure for her condition. And he said to the woman, you know, he says, the doctors have told me there's not much hope. He says, your time is short. He said, have you made your peace with God? The woman said, no. He said, surely, he says, you need to make your peace with God. He says, surely you should be afraid to die. You're not afraid to die not having made your peace with God. She says, no. She says, I'm not going to make my peace. But the woman had that sense in her eyes that there was a peace in her heart. And the minister said to her, he realized that there was something at the back of what she was saying. He says, what do you mean? She says, listen, I know I'm dying. She says, I have no fear of meeting God. She says, I don't need to make peace with God because I'm resting in the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ made at the center cross of Calvary. And that's enough peace for me. She was resting in the peace of Christ. Are you resting in that peace today? This is a perfect peace. But also it is a prophetic peace. As I look around me today and I look at this world and we think of how God, the Lord Jesus, has brought peace to many hearts and many souls, and we thank God for that. But I find a world in which God is not honored. And I find a world in which radical Islamists want to bring this world under their domination. North Korea is making threatening noise. There is the danger of the regime in Iran and all sorts of things around this world. There are people that are under the sway of radical atheism and humanism, and they have no peace and they have no moral code, and this world is heading downward, and there doesn't seem to be that peace. Didn't what the angels sing that day mean nothing? Is this the peace that they're talking about? Surely not. But I find in my Bible the Lord Jesus is coming one day and he will establish a great peace from pole to pole. A kingdom of righteousness. A kingdom of peace. And the lion will lay down with the lamb and they will beat their plough or swords into plowshares and there will be war no more. There's coming a day that's coming very soon when our Lord Jesus Christ will come in power and in great glory. He is the Prince of Peace. And he will bring about a peace that will know no end. Thank God for that fact. And I wonder today, do you know him? When he appears, when he comes, are you a member of his family? Do you know my mighty Savior? But look at also the proclamation of the angel's song. We see the peace, the praise of the angel's song and the peace of the angel's song. But look at the proclamation. It proclaims goodwill towards men. And the word that is translated goodwill there is a word that means just good pleasure. It means benevolence. It means kindness. And here is God's kindness. This is a token of benevolence. When you give a gift to somebody, it's a token of kindness. It's a token of benevolence. And God gave as our gift his own dear son. We read in 1 John 4:9. And this was manifested the love of God towards us. That God sent his only begotten son into the world. That we might live through him. Goes on in verse 10 and says, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. And I want you to see God's good will toward us. He wants us to have blessing. He wants us to be happy. He wants benevolence. He wants goodwill. You know there are many people out there today who want to hoodwink you. There are many people who are using all sorts of scams to bring people in and take money from them. All God wants for you is goodwill. We're not trying to get you hooked up into something that you don't want to join or something that will bring some kind of detriment to your well-being or detriment to your pocket. This is what God wants. He brings goodwill. Why do you hate my Savior? Why do you reject the one who comes to bring goodwill? This is fullness of goodwill. Here is the Savior. God sent his son. And he demonstrated. He just doesn't say, I'm a God of love. But he demonstrated. He sent his son to come into this world. And he showed his love. And it is fullness of love. Not only is there the fullness of his love, but there's the fixity of it. Because the word goodwill there is used in Ephesians 1:5. Where it speaks of the good pleasure of his will. Or also in Ephesians 1:9 where it speaks of the good will pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. So when it speaks of goodwill, there is a relationship to the will of God. God speaks his will. And what God has spoken, his good pleasure will come to pass. His good will be fulfilled. Not one jot or tittle of his word will fall to the ground. So when you're relying on God's good will, you're relying on something absolutely firm and absolutely sure. The promises of God are in him, yea, and in him, amen. This is something solid. This is something that you can rest your eternity upon. When you're resting it upon the good will of God. He's never going to let you down. His promises are sure. Now I ask you again today. Do you know this Savior? Do you know his goodwill? You've got to receive that goodwill by faith. Like any gift, you've got to take it to yourself. You've got to receive it. Now, if you were given a gift today and you refused it, that would be the height perhaps of bad manners. So what are you going to do with God's great gift? What are you going to do with the gift of God, which is eternal life? When you refuse that greatest of all gifts, God has come to bring goodwill, grace, kindness, blessing. Why do you hate him? Why do you turn your back upon him? Why will you not receive him? But there's one more thing that I want you to see. Not only do we see the proclamation of the angel's song, but I want you to see the practicalities of the angel's song. Because there are some things that come right down to earth here. These angels came to bring peace on earth. They came to proclaim peace. Now maybe in your heart and in your life, there has been a lack of peace. Maybe there hasn't been much peace in your household, or maybe there hasn't been much peace in your neighborhood, or much peace in your workplace. My friend, if that's the case, let not the day's sun go down upon your wrath. But you make that good. You go and make peace. Bring that forgiveness to somebody else. Not only did they bring peace here, but they brought goodwill. They proclaimed goodwill. And how about a bit of that goodwill at this season of the year? That elderly neighbor or that elderly relative. How about bringing a bit of goodwill to them at this time of the year? Romans 12 and 10 says, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love in honor, preferring one another. And then there's glory to God. Is there that? Is there much of that in your life? Is your life a life that proclaims glory to God? Or is it really a life that proclaims glory to self? You see, when it comes down to it, this song of the angels is very practical. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. Goodwill towards men. May you receive that peace. May you know that goodwill. May you know the blessing of the Lord upon your heart. As we come to this time of the year. O men and women, if you don't know my Savior, come to him today and find him whom to know his life eternal. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer.